This episode of She Explores is brought to you by Oru Kayak. They design folding kayaks that can go virtually anywhere, thanks to their lightweight and folding design. Stay tuned for later in the episode. We talk again to van lifer Brianna Madia, but this time about how kayaking suits her two dogs, Bucket and Dagwood. I'm Gail Straub, and you're listening to She Explores.
I'm Mary Turner. I'm the deputy editor at Outside, and I've been here 18 years.
My name is Hannah McCahey, and Mary Turner brought me to Outside Magazine, as a matter of fact.
My entry point to Outside Magazine was reading John Krakauer's Into Thin Air and Into the Wild as a teenager. Knowing he was on assignment for Outside, I associated the magazine with adventure with a capital A. I read it at the dentist's and the doctor's office, and it felt a little beyond me, aspirational versus inspirational. But that was then. Yes, capital A adventure still exists, but the outdoor world is widening. As a publication whose mission is to, quote, inspire active participation in the world outside, unquote, I found it fascinating to watch the range of articles grow, especially online, in the past few years. Beyond lifestyle articles like healthy eating guides and gear reviews, they've been talking about diversity and tiny homes and, at an escalating pace, women. Historically, women haven't been a focus for Outside, although they haven't been excluded either. When the editor-in-chief of Outside Magazine emailed and asked if I wanted to interview Mary and Hannah about this month's women's issue, I had a range of feelings, but mostly I was excited. I'd heard about the women's issue, underwritten by REI, in partnership for their spring hashtag Force of Nature campaign. It's a big time for women in the outdoors. That publications like Outside and companies like REI are taking notice and putting dollars behind women's stories is meaningful. I want to talk to Mary and Hannah to learn about Outside's history, how they are shaping content to accommodate a changing audience, and why now is the right time for an all-women's issue. I'm also interested in the reaction to the feedback, both positive and negative, that's been garnered thus far. Mary and Hannah have been at Outside for 18 and 16 years, respectfully, and have a breadth of publishing experience. Here's Mary.
I was working in New York at various publications. I started at Vanity Fair and then worked at The New Yorker, and my last job was at Allure magazine. I had always loved Outside and always loved reading the stories Into Thin Air, Into the Wild, The Perfect Storm, and worked with a lot of the writers in New York who write for Outside. And I biked across the country in college, and I traveled around Asia for a year, and it was always on my radar screen. And then I came out here to interview actually 2 years before I finally made the move. It was pretty hard to extract myself from New York and the city, but I finally was ready. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be one of those people who flips out on the subway if I don't get out of here soon.
I was working for Esquire, and before that, I was at Rolling Stone, and I learned what I know about graphic design in those jobs and a little bit at Parsons, and I met Mary in New York after being at Esquire for, I think, 2 years, and she introduced me to the idea of going to Outside Magazine. I just kind of fell in love with the place. I love the philosophy. I love this lifestyle. I grew up in New York City, so it's not something that was a part of my everyday life, but it was definitely something I aspired to. I loved camping, I loved hiking, I loved biking, I loved being outside, and it's sort of always been in me, but never really got to express itself until I got out into the country, out here.
I asked Mary and Hannah what their job responsibilities are as a deputy editor and a creative director, respectively. Hannah talks about what she does first.
It depends on the time of the month. Right now we're gearing up for our July issue, so I'm making a lot of assignments. I'm calling or emailing illustrators and talking to photographers about upcoming shoots or working with our photo editor to shoot what's on the agenda for this issue. we're also signing off on the very last pages of the one that just closed. And so I'm doing a lot of art planning and just thinking about how this feature well is going to look. And as the month continues, I'll start designing actual pages. I'll get headlines. I'll get actual copy. And I'll start designing pages. I'll shoot a little bit. I've just been learning how to take pictures. We have a studio here. And a lot of our in-house photographers have been teaching me how to use the cameras. And I've been sort of doing that to satisfy my urge to keep learning and growing. And then we fit everything. And then we ship it to print.
Hannah's designed 224 covers, 1,120 feature stories, and thousands of pages of Outside Magazine.
We're a lean and mean machine, so none of us has just one job, really. The deputy editor title doesn't mean a whole lot in that I have like eight jobs, essentially. I'm the managing editor, so I set the schedules for the monthly and, you know, run around yelling at people, telling them they're late and they all hate me. And then I also edit big features. I plan future issues with Hannah and Chris. Just worked as the editor of the women's issue. So I kind of have my hand in lots of different pies here, which is great.
That sounds like you guys can't get bored with the monthly deadline. There's always something to be working on.
Right. There's no boring time.
No downtime at Outside. And we also have a buyer's guide that comes out twice a year. So, and Hannah's very involved in that, and that just finished up. So yeah, we pretty much are running full speed all the time.
Many of the listeners of this podcast are probably familiar already, but I would love to hear one of you or both of you describe what the typical content of Outside Magazine is like.
Traditional issue takes on dispatches in the front of the book, which is news and trends and media, books, movies, any kind of newsy stories go up there. Then we have our bodywork section, which is fitness. We have gear in our essentials, and we have a section called destinations, which is travel service. And then we also showcase great and amazing photography, which Hannah oversees too, in our exposure section. And then we have our feature well, which is a mix of stories every month. You might get a profile of an athlete. You might get a story about the environment, a story about a great expedition or climb, a lot of service packages on how to take better care of yourself, wellness and health and food and nutrition. Would you add anything else to that?
Just that we have some topics that we revisit every year, like that are really popular with our readers, one of which is best towns. Everyone's always sort of lusting after their next town to live in. And then survival is a good theme for us, how to survive in different scenarios in the wild. Fitness, of course, nutrition. These are themes that sometimes we'll hit with like a completely themed issue.
Hannah, you've been at Outside for 16 years. Mary, you've been at Outside for 18 years. How has the magazine evolved over the time that you have both worked with Outside?
I would say when I first got here, it was definitely felt more core sports, more hardcore athletes. And that over the time span that I've been here, it's grown as the outdoor world has grown to encompass a much wider swath of the world and lifestyle. And we've branched into health and nutrition and really just the 360 degree view of who an outside person is and what that person might do. I mean, sure, we mountain bike, we surf, we climb mountains, but we also like good beer and we like the best taco truck and we like to be wearing cool stuff and read good books and see good movies. And we cover that all through the lens of what fits in our world, but we've expanded in terms of what we cover.
Are you often talking about or thinking about who that person is, who the ideal person is who's reading the magazine?
I try to think about a mix of people and in the effort to feel inclusive. I worry about us because I'm not as maybe sporty spice as some of the my fellow co-workers here. I make it feel like the outside world is for everyone. It's not just for the ultra marathoner, and it's not just for the expeditions up Everest. It's also just a hike every weekend, or a 5K, or skiing during normal hours, not at 5 a.m. Or I feel like I'm a little bit conscious of making sure we're inclusive and not exclusive. At the same time, we can't let those readers down who can call us when we've got something wrong. And so I feel like the other editors, or the majority of the staff here will get it right, of course, for those people. And so my concern is more that we're being inclusive and that doesn't feel so hardcore that not everyone's invited.
Can you share at all, like, what the current demographic of subscribers looks like?
You know, I think right now it's about 68% male, 32% female, give or take a little there. I think the average age is mid to late 30s.
Even for me, I have such a small audience compared to outside. And sometimes I feel like I get a lot of emails where people tell me, I want you to do this, I want you to do that, you're not talking to me. And I'm like, I'm trying, but I can't talk to everyone. And it can be hard. So I guess I was just curious as to whether where outside has such a big audience and how the demographics just of like who's interested, that does just change over time. So where you guys have seen so many years of the magazine, I was just curious about that.
Yeah, I think it's so interesting because when I first got here, I definitely felt like I had to study this place so much longer than when, you know, just making a switch like from Rolling Stone to Esquire, that was kind of simple in a way. But to come here, I felt like my first year of being here was just listening and looking and just absorbing, because you do have to tread very lightly when you first come here because there's such a history of devoted readers. And if you change anything, they will raise holy hell, you know, anything that they don't want you to change. But you want to evolve because you're a magazine. You're part of the world of media. You want to keep up with the times. You can't just stay dusty forever. But the way that you evolve without pissing off too many of your loyal followers is so tricky.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we have really passionate readers and we hear from them immediately if they don't like something, which is great. I respect that, and we read all the letters and we listen to them and definitely take it very seriously. But as you said, Gail, it's very hard to please everyone. Somebody will write in and say more camping, and then we'll get five letters, no more camping, you know. And then we'll get the places you're picking are too expensive, and then we'll get the places you're picking are too dirtbag, you know, or and so too much cycling, too much running, and then five other people want it. So it's tricky, but the great part of that, to my mind, is that we have such an engaged audience, which I really appreciate.
Yeah. No, that rings true to me. That makes a lot of sense. This month, Outside launched an all-women's issue, which was a really big deal, and people are really excited about it. Could you describe it a bit for me and for the listeners of this podcast?
I just want to clarify, we've always covered women. It wasn't like, oh, it's our 40th anniversary, why don't we do some women's coverage? Our staff is almost 50% female. We have a lot of really passionate women here, and we've put women on the cover over the years. But because it was our 40th anniversary year, we sit down and plan special single topic issues. And I think it was actually Hannah's idea to do a women's issue, which we were all 180% behind. Not only because we hear from women all the time that they'd like to see more women's coverage in the magazine, but also because it just, the time felt really right to celebrate women in our world with the statistics that we were finding that women are 51% of outdoor consumers and 46% of outdoor participants and spend billions on travel and gear every year. And also, I feel like there's just a grassroots movement going on with the women's movement as a whole right now. And it just felt like a great time to celebrate that. And of course, kick off more women's coverage going forward.
it was almost daunting to do this issue because I've been so excited for it for so many years. I mean, it's almost laughable how many times we get pulled for, what ideas do you have for special issues next year? And every year I feel like I've been writing, how about an issue just about women? And then it doesn't happen. But so to see it finally happen was so daunting because it was like, oh my gosh, it's really happening. We've got to get this right. We've got to make this fantastic. We want to do this every year, you know, maybe more than once a year. I mean, God forbid, maybe we'll do it again and again and again. So it was really nerve-wracking to do it. But man, it's cool to see it.
We just went all in.
We talk about the issue after a quick break. The folks at Oru Kayak believe that connecting to nature is a deep human need, even for those of us who live in cities. I talked with Brianna Madia, who lives in a van with her husband and two dogs.
So for us, it's really important. Like, if our dogs can't come, it's not something we're going to do.
Brianna and her husband take their two dogs everywhere, be it on the road, in a slot canyon, or on the water.
Our two dogs' names are Bucket and Dagwood. Bucket is a brindle, some kind of magical mutt creature. We're not really sure what she is. Her personality can best be described as pretentious, which is kind of funny, but she has this like wonderful, like grumpy face that she always has on. She never looks like she's having a good time, but she is. So when she gets in the kayak, she just curls up and is like, that's right, row me around this river. I will do nothing, you will do everything. Really her style of adventure for sure. And then our other dog, Dagwood, is an American dingo, which is actually a thing. I didn't think it was a thing. And he's a total goofball. He has to be first wherever we go. Like even when we're driving in the van, he has to stand with his paws up on the dashboard and his face pressed against the windshield. And so he has to arrive first. And so in the kayak, he tends to sit very upright, like he's like chartering the trip. So they're both super into it. It's nice because the kayaking with the dogs, it fits both of their personalities because Bucket gets to sit there and do nothing and Dagwood gets to feel like he's like Pirates of the Caribbean.
Don't leave your dog at home. Get on the water in a beautiful, foldable Oru kayak. Learn more at www.orukayak.com. That's www.orukayak.com.
We just went all in. We just put so much thought into what the mix of stories should be in the issue and just came up with such great content and a lot of content that didn't fit, which you'll be seeing throughout the rest of the year. So that's another great thing that comes out of doing these kinds of issues is the whole staff gets so excited and we come up with thousands of ideas and it just generates great content for a long time to come.
So it was 100% written by women, coverage of women, edited by women, everything, even the photographers, were those women as well?
All the content was written and photographed by women. The men here actually helped to edit it. So they did contribute and they were really excited about it.
It's great to have men like that in your life.
Yeah, and you know, honestly, we have a co-ed audience. I mean, we wanted this to be just as appealing to men as it is to women. So it wasn't like, oh, men, go take a vacation this month, don't read outside. I mean, I've almost heard from more men about it than I have from women, which has been really interesting.
What kind of feedback have you been getting?
I think it just was for a lot of readers and people who we know, it just felt like a long time coming and they're just really celebrating the awesomeness of the issue and the women in it and the stories we're telling. And so it's been really fun.
What kind of research did the team do in deciding who you wanted to represent in such a key issue for the year?
Just starting with the cover, we really wanted it to be a very diverse group of women, age ranges, ethnicities, pursuits, sports, passions. There's such a wide mix of people and women and what they do on the cover. And that was hugely important to us to just have that diversity and range of subjects on the cover and inside as well. You know, we wanted to take on our usual topics, gear, fitness, travel, expeditions. All kinds of topics are covered in there, and so we just kept a really close eye on that as we were putting it together to make sure we had the right mix.
What are you each most proud about in this issue?
You know, I fell in love with everyone on our cover shoot, so that's emblazoned in me that, I mean, to a person, just so inspiring, so lovely, so cool. Every single person that came on that shoot, it felt like sort of a magical day. And so to me, I love looking at that gallery. I love reading all their stories. I'm always going to remember this group of women. So I think I keep going back to the pictures. I think Annabelle captured everyone so beautifully, and she approached them in such a nice, natural way. A lot of the way people were photographed on the inside is how they showed up. And I feel like everyone in their photographs really looks to me like how I experience them in person. Their energy kind of comes through in those pictures. So I guess I'm going to lean there.
For me, I mean, I'm with Hannah. The women on the cover and their stories inside are so inspiring. You know, they've all accomplished a lot and overcome a lot.
So I would love to hear a little more about the thought process around the cover and maybe less about the women that you chose, because you've spoken a bit about that, but what they were dressed in.
It's so funny. I only get this question when we shoot women. You know, I shoot probably 12 covers a year, maybe 10 covers a year. Every time there's a woman on our cover, I get a million letters or questions or even fellow staffers asking about the clothing. And it's funny to me because I'm getting that from this issue.
Just a note here. If you haven't seen the issue cover, the women are all dressed in white or shades of white, and they are not wearing athletic clothing. And one woman is in a bikini top and another woman's wearing a dress.
And I'm just asking myself, why is that? I mean, I've shot Kelly Slater with no shirt on billions of times. It feels like it's not billions of times, but I don't get any questions. So I'm just sort of putting that out into the universe. Like, why do we raise so many hairs when we involve women and clothing? I would love to get to the bottom of that someday. But anyway, for art direction purposes, when we think about a group shot, it's really great to have some unifying force. It could be a color palette, and it could be what they're all doing. It's a nice way of getting a group to feel cohesive and not like, you know, your family portrait on the beach. And so we sort of start there. I think a lot of women, I was ready to put on white the day after the election, hoping that it would have gone a different way. So I think white's definitely been on my mind. And we presented this idea to, well, we call him Lorenzo, but we presented this idea to Larry. He's the owner of Outside. And we presented it to the photographer. We presented it to the stylist. The thinking really was white plus hints of shine and glimmer. And as the idea went from me to Lorenzo to the stylist to the photographer, it sort of evolved to where it is in its final entity. I think, well, I know because I was there that everyone was feeling good in what they were wearing. A lot of the smiles sort of grew after people got dressed and got ready, and there were a lot of conversations between the subjects and the stylists beforehand to make sure we were in the zone of what everyone would feel most comfortable in, and that's the result.
And I would just add to that, not every woman on this cover is an athlete. We've gotten a lot of feedback of why aren't they in the clothes they wear when they're doing their sports, which it could have gotten pretty chaotic looking because we have a photojournalist on here. We have a Native American rights activists on here. We have a real variety of people who aren't all athletes. And I second what Hannah said. You know, I feel like it has been made me quite sad how much even women are coming after this cover. Lindsey Vonn's in a dress here. If you read the story about Lindsey Vonn inside the magazine, she talks a lot about body image and how she struggled with it because she's taller and bigger. She's a very strong athlete. How she came to terms with it. She has a new book called Strong is the New Beautiful. And, you know, if Lindsey Vonn wants to wear a dress, I think that's okay. These people work so hard on their bodies and they're incredibly fit. And we celebrate that and we celebrate it with men. And I know there are a bunch of schools of thought on feminist thought of that have differing opinions on that. And I respect it, but it really did make me sad to see some of that feedback and I respect it and we're listening to it. But mostly I just want people to celebrate this awesome group of women.
Yeah, that question, Hannah, that you brought up right off the bat, like, why do we talk about what women wear? Why do we question that? And it's interesting to hear it from your standpoint as the creative director who gets asked that question. You know, you hear it. And it is unfortunate that women are under that kind of scrutiny from men and from women. Like, that is unfortunate.
Right. I don't know the answer to it because I couldn't say to you that it's men asking me that. It could be that it's more often women judging other women, which is a little heart crushing to think that way. But I would also add that when you're taking pictures of people, your priority is that they feel good. If you're not feeling good in what you're wearing, your eyes and your face will reveal that immediately. And I was saying this all day long on the shoot. Do you feel good? You look gorgeous. Do you feel good? Do you feel good? Are you happy? Do you want to try something else on? Do you like what you're wearing? And everyone assured me they felt great. And I have to say, in the picture, I can see that. I don't see faces of people who don't feel great. And that's how I would want to be treated if I were to be photographed.
Yeah, if you look at, like, I'm looking at the cover right now, and if I zoom in on each face, it could be a portrait in and of itself, and that does speak to the confidence that the women had in that room at that point in time. There's several mentions in the issue about how Outside is looking to carry the spirit forward. You mentioned that you had more articles than you could even fit in this issue, and you're excited to include them in the future. And I know that there's also a survey that's with data that's running through this issue that kind of speaks to who the woman is that you're speaking to. What ways are you looking to incorporate women into future issues of Outside?
So many different ways across all our platforms. You know, we'll have more women on the cover, more women in photography throughout the issue, more women writers, more women shooting stories for us. We have a lot of features planned. We have an awesome podcast series that Florence Williams is doing on women. We have a ton of content online that from gear to fitness to features to columnists that we've started. Sasha DeJulian, the climber, has a new column, and Blair Braverman has a great new column on relationships.
I love that.
She's amazing. I can't wait for it every week. And you know, Outside TV is doing Melissa Arnott Reed, the Mountaineer, an episode with her. So I think Hannah and I both felt like this is not a one-off. And we didn't even really want to get behind it if it felt like a one-off. This is the start of much more gender-balanced Outside across all platforms.
We didn't have time to go into detail, but the issue contains stories from Rahawa Hale and Florence Williams, two women I featured on episodes 22 and 23 of this podcast. The world is so delightfully small sometimes, but it's getting bigger. I really enjoyed this issue. My favorite article was Beth Rodden's We Tell It Like It Is. dimensional piece about a climber's struggle with perfectionism and trauma. I do wish the cover hadn't led with the kidnapping aspect of Beth's story, but I know more after talking with Mary and Hannah that there's always more to a piece than its headline. Between the gear reviews and the in-depth storytelling that Outside is known for, I'm intrigued to see how they carry the sentiment forward. If you read and enjoyed the issue, I really recommend Misadventures magazine. It's the first true outdoor magazine through a feminine lens that I know about, and it's beautiful. Big thank you to Mary Turner and Hannah McCahey for taking the time. Thanks as well to our sponsor, Oru Kayak. If you enjoy this podcast, be sure to leave a review on iTunes or wherever you listen. And if you think you have a friend who'd enjoy it, share it. It makes a really big difference for us to grow our audience. Music is by Lee Rosevere, Little Glass Men, and Tours. Until next time, bye.